It's time for Alaska Realty Today on KFAR Radio. A look at real estate and property management in the Great Land. Alaska Realty Today, brought to you by Next Home Arctic Sun Realty. Now your hosts, Kirk and Lisa Maynard.
Hi, I'm Kirk Maynard. Lisa Maynard is not with us today. She's having a little surgery, but I am here with our special guest, Ed Maynard, my father.
Hello, all. I'm glad to be here, and thanks for inviting me to the show.
Thank you. So, Dad, I thought today would be a good day to go through an investment analysis. What is it, and why should people even look at it? So I know you've done quite a few in your lifetime. So people listening to the show might not even know what an investment analysis is, might have looked at numbers when they're buying an investment property, all the way to have played with some numbers, some spreadsheets. But I think most people that I've come across don't have a sophisticated spreadsheet, or and I know you have a program that you use for commercial properties when you're going to pick up a property. Maybe it's from the bank, a foreclosure that you present to the bank when you're looking for a loan. So let's talk about what is investment analysis. From your perspective, why should somebody even analyze a property before they buy it? Sounds like a basic question, but there's people out there that are probably thinking about investing. You know, it's been the hottest commercial market we've seen in the last, you know, however many years. There's people probably looking to dip their toes in the investment world. So what say you?
Well, it's real important, especially with commercial buildings, that you do an analysis, and there's a lot of things that go into it. You should also do it if you're buying a house, because there's different aspects of owning a house, especially if you're a young couple, and you just need to know what your budget is, what your cash flow is, so that you can afford the house that you want.
Yeah, and just to jump in real quick, that's a really good point. You know, I do more for multiplexes and commercial properties, but I've done several for single-family properties, and for that exact reason, Dad, is it's the biggest investment of most people's lives, and it's a big undertaking, and it's good to know how the house actually performs on its own as a single family home. So thanks for bringing that up.
And getting back to a commercial analysis, it's real important that you cover all your bases and make sure that the cash flow, the cash on cash. Maybe you want to explain what couple of these things are.
Yeah, well, actually, I'm going to ask you what those are. But yeah, so there's a couple different things that we look at when we're doing our investment analysis, and we both have an APOD, or annual property operating data spreadsheet in front of us, and we're looking at one that I did for a native corporation not too long ago for a commercial property downtown. And so first thing that we look at, we input is the acquisition price, the purchase price, and then we look at the acquisition costs. So we look at closing cost and down payment, you know, what their out-of-pocket's going to be. We look at the rate that they're expected to pay, and then we look at the loan-to-value. You know, if they're putting 20% down, they're taking out an 80% mortgage on it. So that gives us our payment, which is important because we're going to boil it down soon to net operating income, and we need to know what their monthly and yearly payment is. So So what is the difference between cash on cash and cash flow? I've talked to some investors, and by investors, usually these are people just dipping their toe into, you know, duplexes or fourplexes, and sometimes cash flow is all they really care about. Hey, you know, money now to me is important. And a lot of people look at the long-term equity buildup or the equity buy-down, you know, the tenants are going to be doing for their, you know, say their fourplex. So cash on cash, I'm assuming, is what cash they're getting back from what cash they've laid out. Why would that number be important to a potential investor?
Well, you want to have enough income that you can get your cash back plus some to be a reasonable investment. You want, you know, 6-12% return on your cash, just like if you went to a bank and wanted to open up a CD or something, you want to know what the interest rate is that you're going to receive. Well, this is the interest rate you're going to receive for your investment.
Interesting. So the one we're looking at right now, the cash on cash is 10.65%. So it seems to fall within your reasonable level of what you might expect for a rate of return. Is it the same as a rate of return? Is cash on cash different? Is it different from a capitalization rate?
Well, cash on cash is just like we said. it's a return on your cash invested, and so that's just a real important item.
Okay, so the cash you invested is your basically your acquisition cost. Would that be your down payment and your out of pocket cost, your closing cost?
Yes, and then the cash on cash, one portion of it is the cash flow that the building produces for you.
Perfect. So other things that we're going to take into consideration, so you have your monthly income, and on this particular property it's around $17,000 per month, $206 per year. Next we want to really peel back to the NOI, the net operating income. So we do look at if there's going to be a vacancy allowance. If you're looking at a duplex or a fourplex, you need to take a hard look of what that potential vacancy rate might be. You need to talk to a professional, find out what the market, I don't want to say standard is, but what the historicals are, and it's fluctuated. We've been managing multiplexes for many, many years, and it's varied. It can be from 0 to 20%. And then if it's a commercial property, you may only have 5 or 6 big tenants on long-term leases, 5, 10, 15-year leases, so that vacancy rate, that vacancy allowance might be a little bit different. But once you have that piece, once you have that basically your gross operating income, then we got to pull out all the things it takes to operate that property. So you have taxes, insurance, utilities, repairs, and that would be an interesting one to see how that's calculated. Same with maintenance, management fee, advertising, and any other expenses. So property taxes, you should have that number from the borough, from the property owner. Insurance, same thing. And you shouldn't just go off somebody's word, I assume, Dad, that, hey, this is what these numbers are. This is what the utilities and repairs are. Do you want to look at some historicals? Do you want to look at maybe their tax returns or their profit and loss statement? Where would you want to verify some of these bigger numbers? Because on this property, utilities are about $55,000. That's a big number. Repairs, $32,000. I kind of want to do some sort of balance checks and balances to make sure these numbers are correct and accurate. And, you know, if I'm going to do a pro forma or an estimate of what they're going to be in the future, I'd kind of like to know where these numbers came from. So is there something you do to peel back to verify these numbers?
Absolutely. The best place to go is a tax return. However, most people want to push a lot of expenses on their tax return to keep their taxes low. But you definitely want to look at least 2 years tax returns. 3 is even better, and then you see what the trend is. And one item that you mentioned was repairs. And repairs is really important because it should include enough money to put aside for major repairs such as a roof, or maybe you have to replace 2 boilers, some major expenses like that. You want to make sure you have enough money set aside and built up for those repairs.
And I'm glad you brought that up. And actually, once we're done here off the air, I was going to ask you if we could meet with a buyer of mine. We put a pro forma together on how we think this property, this business is going to perform in the future. And we have items like that, so some big capital expenditures that we think he might have to outlay. And so we do have, I think, 3 or 4 years worth of taxes. We wanted you to, since you are a tax accountant, and have you digest those numbers and an investor, and look at what our predictions are and see if they look realistic, everything jumps out. So no, I'm glad you brought that up. I think that's important. Management fees. If you're going to, you might manage it yourself depending on the property. You know, if it's a duplex, fourplex, multiplex, you might have a property manager involved. So you might have 8, 10, 12% in there. If it's a commercial property with, you know, big long-term leases, might be something that you're doing it on your own, or you might be paying a commercial property manager. So just make sure you budget for that. And then it boils down to your total operating expenses. You take that out of your gross operating income, and that gives you your NOI, your net operating income. And why is that number important?
Well, you have to have enough there to pay your debt if you have a debt on the building.
So you want to make sure that number is a positive number, not a negative number?
Correct. And another aspect is is looking at your future expenses and future income, and you want to make sure that you've got enough future income year by year to cover all those expenses in increasing years. So you put in inflation rate and for both income and expenses, and hopefully the inflation rate for the expenses is lower than the inflation rate for the income.
Yep, good point. Can we talk about capitalization rate for a second? You hear that term cap rate being thrown around a lot. Not everybody knows exactly what that means or how to calculate it or why to calculate it. They just like to throw that number out. And I think most people don't even know that there's different expected or anticipated cap rates. I mean, sure, every investor is going to have what they want. You probably have a minimum threshold, but for the type of property too, whether it be a duplex, a 50-plex, a commercial building, a business, I mean, I think everybody's going to have a different, and appraisers are going to have different capitalization rates for our market for those type of properties. But what is a capitalization rate and how does net NOI play into it? So I think you take your net operating income, divide it by your purchase price. And in this case, we have $69,000 as your NOI divided by your purchase price, $875,000. That means you're going to capitalize 7.8% of that purchase per year. So the capitalization rate on this property is around 8%. And in your opinion, overall, is 8 okay? Is it barely marginal? Do you like to see 10 for yourself, 12%?
Well, every community is a little different, and so but 8%, you can certainly live with that and make it work, especially if it's consistent for the whole time period that you're going to hold the property, whether it's 5 years or 30 years.
Good point. Yeah, so okay. And then I think you have a minimum, again, like you said, community or type of property, but is 10% or 12% more of what you'd like to see if you're investing?
Yeah, I personally I like to see at least 10% and better than that if we can.
And I know you're young, but does age play into it on how much of a capitalization rate you'd like to see, whether you're 25 or 95?
Well, it sure does.
does your risk change, your risk thought process?
Yeah, definitely. You just don't want to get into a property and you have to pay 30 years on it and you're in your 80s or something like that. And it's best if you can start when you're younger to make investments, just because then you have the time buildup of the value of the property. So when you go and sell it, and that's another thing you have to consider is taxes when you do sell the property, and generally it's capital gains. But what you have to be careful of is if you hold it for a long, long time and you have high appreciation on the property, then you're going to have high taxes because you're going to depreciate the property down. So your basis is going to be a lot lower when you go to sell it. And then the other thing we should talk about, too, is net investment tax. And right now, net investment tax is 3.8%. And it comes into play if you're not a professional real estate individual, or if you have several buildings but you work less than 500 hours a year at it, then you're going to be subject to net investment tax. And that's on top of all your other taxes. So just keep that in mind.
That's such a good point. And yeah, I do want to talk a little bit about 1031 exchanges. Just touch on it. I think we're going to do a whole show in the upcoming weeks on 1031 exchanges. But when we come back from this break, I'd love to talk a little bit more about that. So when we come back, we'll finish on up. Talk to you soon.
Alaska Realty Today with Kirk and Lisa Maynard returns right after this on 97.5 FM KFAR Radio.
How do you get the smoking best deal in town on just about anything on 50-50 Fridays? Duh, that's how. 50-50 Fridays partners together with your favorite local merchants to bring you great new deals of half-off savings. Simply go to the station's website and click on the 50-50 Fridays button at the top of the page to see what new deal is being offered each week. Get ready to score your half-off deals on such items as dining out, entertainment, services, activities, events, and even more. Shop 50-50 Fridays. You'll spend less. You'll have more. And even if it isn't Friday, be sure to check back with the 50-50 Fridays page regularly, where you can discover unclaimed half-off deals that may still be available. Every 50-50 Fridays week, you'll hear about the upcoming offer daily on 8 of the most listened to radio stations in the interior. Can your business benefit from a week of saturated, enthusiastic promotion on 8 radio stations? The answer is yeah, it sure. Why wouldn't it? Talk to us. 50-50 Fridays, brought to you by the radio station, your local family of radio stations.
Hi, this is Kirk and Lisa Maynard with Next Home Arctic Sun Realty.
We've been handling residential, commercial, and property management in Fairbanks for decades.
And nobody knows the market better.
Selling season is here, and the time to sell your home is now.
Here at Next Home Arctic Sun Realty, we offer exceptional visibility through high-end photography, along with Matterport 3D tours to showcase each home.
And each office is independently owned and operated.
So call us today, 456-4653.
Or online at nexthomearcticsun.com.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m. The Buzz at 11:30, a look at Alaska's budding new industry, brought to you by Good Titrations, followed by Health Talk with Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical at noon. Then it's the Compos Outdoor Show at 12:30. And don't miss Fairbanks Foodies at 5:30, talking everything food and fun in Fairbanks. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio. Now, we return to Alaska Realty Today on KFAR Radio. Brought to you by Next Home Arctic Sun Realty. Now your hosts, Kirk and Lisa Maynard.
Okay, welcome back. We are here with special guest, my father, Ed Maynard. He's done a ton of investing over the years. I think you got investing back in the 80s, probably took advantage of the market back then when I think a lot of things were maybe in foreclosure. And can we go on that actually tangent real quick? I think looking at opportunities is something that you should take into account. Maybe not always buying at the top of the market and trying to maybe picking something up when the market's a little more weak. Do you have a strategy when you go into to look for a commercial property?
Well, one thing I like to do is to look for a foreclosed property. That's one that's the bank or the investor is taken back because the owner hasn't paid the mortgage. And so that's absolutely a good way to go. And sometimes they're a little bit hard to find, and sometimes you go to the courthouse and you can see a foreclosure sale that will go on, and you can bid on it, and it's a good time to buy if you just hunt around a little more.
Are the foreclosure properties that you purchase, are they all for non-payment, or have there any of them been tax foreclosures that you've run into?
I've never seen one for a tax foreclosure. It's all for not servicing the debt properly.
Okay. Excellent. Well, when we left, we were talking about making sure we're paying attention to paying your taxes and what taxes you can expect, a capital gains tax. Can we touch real quick about 1031? So we talked about getting into it early. Maybe you've held a property for 10 years, and maybe you're moving out of state somewhere else, and so you've got a gain on your property that you're gonna have to pay taxes on. Is there a way, such as a 1031 exchange, to move that money to another property?
Yes, a 1031 is the code, IRS tax code for exchanges, and you have a time period where after you sell your property, you cannot touch the money. So you get an intermediary person, and they're licensed and bonded, and they receive the money, and then you have a certain time period where you go out and find another property that you want to reinvest in, and it doesn't have to be in the same state if you're moving out of the state, and use those proceeds to purchase a new property, and the new property can be cost more than the property that you sold. That's usually the case.
Has the 1031 tax code changed much since you've been paying attention to it, like the number of months you have to identify the property or the type of property. Does that vary much from?
No, it's pretty much the same all these years I've been involved with it. And it's absolutely a great way to go and a great way to save your taxes. What does happen is that the appreciation value of the property you sold, you don't get to start all over with new depreciation, which you paid for the new property. But other than that, you're not paying any taxes, and it's just an excellent way to put that money to work somewhere else for you.
Perfect. So we're going to circle back to our APOD, or annual property operating data. We left with net income. So on this property, we have $69,000 in net income. And we have an annual debt service of roughly $44,000. So this property cash flows at about $25,000 per year. Doesn't seem horrible. It's not, maybe, I don't know if you'd be looking for higher on something like this, but it's not a bad number. If cash flow is what you're looking for, maybe you've got multiple properties and this is just part of your portfolio, but it doesn't seem like a bad number. There's a number down here also, the equity buildup. Like we said earlier, a lot of investors get into it just for the cash flow, but if you're building up a rental portfolio, that equity buy down is such an important part of why you are investing in the first place. So, and the appreciation to me should be icing on the cake. So hold it for however many years, a year, two, three, four, five, 10, the appreciation should be kind of icing on the cake. That equity buy down or pay down through having tenants in a property should be a big part of why you're buying an investment property in the first place. Agreed. So on my investment analysis form, Dad, we were talking off the air about the annual appreciation. So you want to take into account an annual expense increase, because like right now we're in an inflationary period, so I have a question about that. Annual income increase and annual appreciation. For me, I like to keep the annual appreciation kind of low. You know, historically for residential properties, I use 3%, even though it was 20% around the country this last year for single family homes, duplexes, and 20% in Fairbanks over the last 2 years for single family properties. But I've been doing this for almost 20 years. I just keep that number nice and low because I like to be conservative on these investment analysis and kind of having them only go up from this number. So that's my approach, is to take a very conservative approach to it. But what about the annual income increase? Can you expect any? Maybe you guys are locked in for a 10-year lease at a certain rate, or maybe you've built that into your commercial lease where there is going to be a 3 or 5% increase annually. What's typical you've seen over the decades?
Well, typically until recently, a 3% annual increase on rents works. But with the cost of fuel and actually everything else is going up faster than that. And the trouble is, if you're locked into a long-term lease with no increases, then it's going to bite you and you end up with a negative cash flow.
So I wonder if there's investors out there that did get complacent and then did get bitten recently by inflation. And so what would you do today if you were taking on a commercial building with five major tenants in it? You would build in a 3 or 5, 10% income increase and also an expense increase?
Well, with what's going on today, I think I'd take a even more conservative approach and tie the increases to an inflation rate. Especially right now, it's just awful.
Perfect. No, I think that's a wonderful idea. So if you guys are listening and you are thinking of investing, come talk to me. I might pair you up with my dad on how to word that language in a commercial lease to cover yourselves, to make sure you don't get bit and take a step backwards during inflationary times like we're going through now. So we've talked about cash on cash. The equity buildup on this property, 5, 6, 7% per year seems like a good number. Do you put too much stock in that number? Is there expectations on you know, how much equity you're building up per year.
Well, that's real important. It hasn't been this last couple of years because the rate your investment is returning, or not necessarily returning a good income, but appreciating, especially real property. And so, but you can't always count on what's happening today. So it's good to make sure you build in your calculations and increases in value.
Perfect. If you go to page 4, there's a pie chart that takes a look at, and it's the investment analysis summary, takes a look at how much of what you're getting back is appreciation, how much is equity buildup, and how much is cash flows. And so in this particular instance, almost 50% is from appreciation, 22% from equity buildup, and 29% from cash flow. So I think it's kind of a neat number, neat little pie chart to take a look at. And if a lot of your money was coming from cash flows and less from equity buildup, I'd be a little bit nervous. So it's something to I would definitely pay attention to. Do you think about future wealth position of the property? Do you take a look at, hey, you know, I'm going to hold it for 7 years. I'm going to go sell it with one of my sons, and you know, I expect it to appreciate so much, and I expect it to sell it for so this amount, and therefore my future wealth position in the property is X. Do you ever take a look at what you, kind of like a pro forma on it, what you might sell it for in the future?
Oh, once in a while I do. It's interesting that you're my son and asking that question to me. But definitely, you know, you're investing in this commercial property, especially for good appreciation, so that you can contribute to not only your retirement, but, you know, continuing to invest in other properties. So you just don't want to look at a few aspects of a property. You want to go through a thorough analysis and come up with the numbers. And I'm looking at this one that you handed out, and it says not fully occupied, but then there's no reserve or number for allowance for vacancy, and that's a real important number.
Yeah, and so when we're looking at the future, no, I totally agree with you. So we look at the value at the time of purchase on this property is $875,000. Projected sales price was using a conservative 3%, so that puts it at $1.1, $1.2 million. Cost of sale, projected cost of sale, we had at $94,000. I think that's roughly 7%, if I remember, 8%, whatever it was to pay a professional, plus closing costs. We have less adjusted basis, Dad. Can you explain that number? That's that $680,000. So I'm assuming there's some depreciation in there, because the number we're looking at is a total taxable gain on sale, because that's an important number to look at.
It definitely is. And I.
So if we're going to sell it for $1.2 million, it's going to cost us $100,000. We're going to pull $680,000 out. Again, I'm assuming that's depreciation, but please correct me if I'm wrong. And that gives us our total taxable gain on the sale if we're not doing a 1031 exchange. So it's you got to see your tax account. I've been kind of hitting them off guard here. I apologize. But you're going to have a capital gains tax. And so we in this case, the tax rate is 25%. So yeah, you're going to end up paying taxes on sale. So yeah, that's all going to factor into your future wealth position on the property. And then this property, it ended up being $600,000 after 10 years. So not, you know, not a horrible performing property.
Yeah. And like you said, what's real important is your tax rate. And if you have four or five buildings and you don't want to sell them all in 1 year because your tax rate isn't going to be what you projected for this one building, because you're going to add them all together and it might put you up as high as 37%.
Awesome, awesome point. Thank you guys so much. Dad, thank you for coming on. You're a wealth of knowledge. I sure appreciate it. I could probably go on for hours to talk to you about this stuff, but thank you so much for coming on the show. I sure appreciate your time.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Okay, take care, you guys. Have a good weekend.
You have been listening to Alaska Realty Today on KFAR Radio and streaming live at KFARradio.com.